The USS Kaufman is now the last of its breed. The 453-foot Navy ship is on a six-month deployment that marks the final mission for any Navy frigate. All the rest have been decommissioned. Kaufman will follow suit when it returns from Central America in September. For more on the decommissioning, the policy behind it, and how the Navy intends to replace the frigates, we turn to Rear Admiral Peter Fanta. He's the Navy's Director of Surface Warfare. Admiral Fanta, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, and thank you for having me this morning. Talk about frigates and what we're doing for the small surface combatant of the future.
All right, so frigates look like destroyers, but they're much smaller. And so what has their role been historically?
So they're about 400 feet, about 4,100 tons, which is a small, relatively small ship for our Navy and a relatively mid-sized ship for the rest of the world's navies. For us, they've been an escort ship, they've been an anti-submarine ship, they've been a ship that works with other navies all over the world in integration with our partners and allies. They've been kind of the workhorse of the Navy for the last 40 years, since the late 70s when we commissioned and got underway with the first one, Oliver Hazard Perry.
Now, they have been gradually decommissioned over time over the last several years. Does that mean the Navy just has fewer ships as they get decommissioned, or is there something to replace that function, that, as you call, a workhorse function?
So as we've been coming down on frigates, we've been going up on other ships. We have the Arleigh Burke-class destroyers, and we're building a new class of ship, the Littoral Combat Ship. We have the first four out in San Diego already operational. That's the Independence and Freedom Littoral Combat Ships classes, and we're moving forward with a new frigate starting in 19. That same class of Littoral Combat Ship will be redesignated as Fast Frigate starting in 19. We're changing the design slightly, and we're moving towards a new frigate for the next 20 ships that will start being built then to hit the fleet probably in the early 20s.
Because when I think of a frigate, I think of something, as you say, may accompany a destroyer, a carrier group, and go across the ocean. When I think of littoral, I think of a ship that kind of stays not in the middle of the ocean.
Well, we've proven with the first couple deployments of this class of littoral combat ship, they are completely capable of transiting oceans and operating in far-off places. Our first couple ships are swapping out right now. They've transited the Pacific. They do very well on gas mileage, and they're operating out of Singapore, working with our Southeast Asian allies. The first one of those deployments was very successful. We proved a lot in the design of the ship, and the second one, the USS Fort Worth, is out there now. The concept on these is a little different. What we do is we have two ships with three crews, and we move the crews forward to a ship forward deployed and forward based out of another country or another port somewhere, and therefore we can keep these ships forward much longer than the standard rotation that we use on those, what you mentioned, the cruisers and destroyers and other large surface combatants.
And so do the what are now called the littoral combat ships, do they have the ruggedness and the ability to stay deployed without a ton of maintenance that the frigates might have had?
Well, what we're showing is that we're getting much better at maintaining this new class of ship. Obviously, they're new to us, and with any new class of ship, there's always the kind of the growing bumps and rumbles on what works and what doesn't. We're learning very quickly, and we're adjusting our designs to take those lessons we've learned on these first couple deployments and incorporate them into the design so they're much more rugged and reliable on a long 16 or 17-month deployment.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Peter Fanta. He is the Navy's Director of Surface Warfare. And I guess you hinted at this a moment ago, but as you replace the frigates with these future ships, the littoral combat ships that will be rebadged, does that signal a change in doctrine and approach to the way the Navy goes about its duties around the world?
We're pretty much a forward Navy. That's one of the things that you get with a Navy. We operate forward. The more forward presence and the more forward deployments we have, the more we reassure our partners and allies around the world that we're there when they need us, and when something brews up anywhere in the world. It really is, for us, how much of a forward presence and how much of a forward deterrence can we get using our ships. the more ships we have forward, the better off the rest of the world feels, the better off the United States feels. We really are the kind of the blocking and tackling between us and the rest of the world. And from that perspective, the Navy does a fine job of keeping keeping over 100 ships deployed at any one time.
And are you confident that the shipbuilders of the littoral combat ship, I guess there's two or three of them competing, can they get down the learning curve so that you can eventually turn them out at the rate you need and at the quality level you need?
So I've been to the shipbuilders, and they are doing an amazing job. This really is kind of American technology at its best on an industrial scale. The shipbuilders, both up in Wisconsin and down on the Gulf Coast, have built new facilities to turn these ships out on a assembly line scale that we haven't seen in shipbuilding in this country in a long time. Essentially, they build them in sections. They have them on huge rolling sections that they now move around. They assemble them in a building and they put them out the back, and we will be delivering 4 littoral combat ships a year starting in this year. The shipbuilders are up on those learning curves, and the fact that we have 2 shipbuilders allows us that competition to keep the costs down well below any congressional cost cap that has been set on these.
And what about the propulsion systems? Are they different from the old frigates? And is that something that you've got to train a lot of sailors to be able to handle and maintain?
The propulsion systems are still primarily gas turbine reduction gears. In this case, we do use water jets, which we've had before on various ships in the Navy. The water jets are slightly different. We don't have large propellers. But again, that allows you to go into shallower waters where you're not worried about dinging your propeller on some coral reef or someplace. But from a water jet perspective, they're working very well. They do provide a lot of maneuverability, and they are very quick. If I will say one thing about it, we've started training our whole new generation of young officers to drive at very high speeds. These really are the sports cars, the old MGs, if you will, and Triumphs of the United States Navy. They handle beautifully. They're very fast, and they like to be handled with a deft touch. We have a group of high-speed ferry captains from around the world that are training our young officers on how to handle ships moving at 40-plus knots.
So it's, in other words, the world's biggest jet ski.
It is a very big jet ski. We could probably pull a platoon of Marines behind us if we had to, but yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
On board, yeah. They might have something to say about that. And what about the armament compared to the older frigates?
The armament compared to the older frigates is commensurate when you look at the evolution in technology. Obviously, at that time, we had an early standard missile on there. We haven't had that in our inventory in a number of years. So now when we look at missiles, we have the RAM and CRAM missiles on it, which is an international conglomerate missile that is put together. Very capable missile, has proven to be one of the best missiles against point defense targets in the world. We have a very capable sonar suite on there, and some of the sonars that we have on there are now being proven out on the West Coast to have a capability that the early frigates would have loved to have had, and frankly we would have loved to have had in the 70s and 80s against at that time the Cold War threat.
And what about the crew size necessary to operate them versus the old frigates?
Well, the old frigates had a couple hundred people. This is a core crew of 50 people. That requires a lot of automation and a lot of training. A lot of these crews are very highly trained. They're generally more senior. We train to qualify. In other words, on the beach, when you're sitting there ready to go to the ship, you are trained in every one of your jobs and every one of your watch stations. And then when they hit the ship, they essentially get integrated together, and they're ready to go forward on a much shorter notice than the traditional frigate crews. Now, that's not to take anything away from the traditional frigate crews. Those were some very tight, very small crews from that time that did a lot of teamwork to make those ships work and make them work extraordinarily well. The difference now is we're using a lot of automation to substitute for some of those jobs that before we had to do with 4 or 5 bodies.
And a final question. I've been looking at some pictures of these different types of vessels, and you've been in the Navy a long time. Wouldn't you have to admit, though, that the old frigate is a way better looking ship than these new LSCs?
Well, actually, I like them both. I think they, any ship at sea is a beautiful thing. And from that perspective, if you put me on the deck of a warship at sea anywhere in the world, I think they're all beautiful. And I hope they're all very ugly to the enemy from any perspective.
All right, well stated. Rear Admiral Peter Fanta is the Navy's Director of Surface Warfare. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.